Thank you, Paul and Aaron. And also, just as a note, at the end of the lecture, you can just leave your praise binders on the table. There's a group that has graciously agreed to pick those up for us each week, so just leave the praise binders right where they are. Today, we have Neville Sinclair speaking with us. Neville is married to Lewis, is a mother to three children, and is a grandmother to five. She is a retired middle school educator, having served in both the classroom and as an administrator. Here at Holy Trinity, Neville has been very busy. She has served in many areas, including the vestry, children's worship, leading First Communion classes. She has been a teaching leader of WOW for 7 years, and for the past 5 years, she has also served as co-leader. So thank you, Neville, for your service to us, and we're grateful for you. I'll pray for you before you come up. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth. And we just pray now that you would be with Neville as she comes to share with us what you have given her. Lord, let our hearts be fertile ground, Lord, to hear your word and to put it into practice. We thank you for all these things in your name, we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, ladies. You have not heard a word I have said. Have you ever heard those words spoken to you, or have you ever spoken those words to somebody? We're laughing because we have, right? Well, I'm hoping, and we all know that blank look on someone's face when we've been talking and it just kind of, you know, goes blank, and I'm hoping that this morning during the talk, I will not see too many blank faces out in the crowd. But all joking aside, hearing, listening, these are the key components of our lesson today. So if you have heard me, I hope you will open your Bibles to Luke chapter 8. And before we begin, would you join me in a word of prayer? Oh, Almighty God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to come together to open it, to hear it, to study it. But, oh Lord, will it this morning teach us well? Lord, we pray that we will be those faithful, true hearers of your word, and that we will respond in the way that you are calling us to respond. And it'll be different from each one of us, but we want to be your people, your women, to love you and serve you. And so, Lord, as we open your word and as I open my mouth, I pray that I will decrease and you will increase. Your voice, your truth will only be heard. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Well, in chapter 8, Luke presents Jesus as a teacher and a miracle worker. The chapter easily divides into two parts. In verses 1 through 21, we learn that God's word is productive. Jesus teaches that when God's word is truly heard, the hearer becomes a doer and a member of his family. In verses 22 to 56, we learn that God's word is powerful. Jesus demonstrated his authority and his transforming power of the living word as he calms the storm, restores the demonic, heals the diseased woman, and raises Jairus' daughter from the dead. Throughout this lesson, we have been trying, or hope we have examined, our response to the word of God. For in this lesson, we learn that true hearing of the word of God produces a fruit, the fruit of obedience, the fruit of patient endurance, and faith that looks to Jesus, trusting in his power and his authority in our lives. Now, the passage begins with Jesus continuing to travel through Galilee, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And we are told that the disciples were with him, and women had joined him, and the women were both Jew and Gentile. This emphasizes Luke's certainty that Jesus is the Savior of the world. Verse 4 tells us that a great crowd was gathering, and Jesus spoke to them in a parable. Reading verses 5 through 8, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and it grew up, and it withered away, because it had no moisture. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And as he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." First, we notice how generously the farmer has sown. Because he sows so generously and he sows so completely, Jesus explains that the seed falls on all types of different soils. But the seed that falls on the good soil is the one that produces 100-fold. Now, this yield is not only abundant, but it would have been extraordinary in the dry climate of Israel. The people in the crowd would have understood this as well, and understood that a harvest this size indicated a divine blessing. For they would have remembered back to Genesis 26, where it says, "Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. The Lord blessed him." So what is Jesus' point? It is that this miraculous harvest is not the result of human endeavor. It is all of God. Jesus knows that not all will receive this message, that resistance, rejection will abound, but God will break through the opposition, and like the germination of the seed that brought forth that abundant harvest, God's word will go forth and it will be productive. And so Jesus urges the crowd, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Stop being hard-hearted, self-reliant, proud. Instead, hear the word, surrender to it, be submissive to God and to his word. As we move to verses 9 to 15, we see that the disciples' hearts are not hard, because they asked Jesus to explain the meaning of the parable. This is why Jesus says, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God." Again, these secrets are given by God, and they are received by faith. The disciples heard the call that Jesus made to them to come, "Follow me." And they responded immediately. They were the true hearers. As Jesus continues, he says in verse 10, quoting Isaiah, the parables, "For others they are parables, so that seeing," this is the Isaiah part, "seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." You see, the separation between those who truly hear and those who do not has nothing to do with the access to God's word, but everything to do with how one responds. We are all sitting in this room. We have all studied this word. That's the seed that has been sown. Is it falling on good soil? Is it falling? And are we responding? Jesus emphasizes this point by quoting Isaiah 6:9. Isaiah brought God's word to his people, but many rejected him because the Israelites' hearts were hard. And he knew that the same would happen during his ministry. And the same happens today. And so we again must ask ourselves, how are we responding to God's truth in his word? Have you accepted him as your Lord and Savior? And as I mentioned to the leaders, he is more than our Savior. We love having him as our Savior, don't we? It is so freeing. But he is also our Lord, and that is where his place belongs. For in verse 11, Jesus returns to the disciples, and he questions about the question of the meaning of the parable. And he tells them, first off, the seed is the word of God. The different soils are the different human responses to the seed. So the productivity of the soils depends on how the word of God is heard and received. There we're back to hearing, receiving. For how the word is heard is the single deciding factor in whether the word will be productive and bear fruit. A superficial hearing, represented by the path, does not hold on to the word at all. Satan is there to snatch it away by asking the question, did God actually say? A temporary hearing, represented by the rock, does not always allow the word to take root and to truly grow. An anxious hearing of the word, represented by the thorns, is unproductive. It is fruitless. Martin Luther wrote this about that thorny soil. It said it is a hearing that does not fear, love, and trust God above all things. And true hearing, represented by the good soil, is humble, receives the word in sincere faith. Those who truly hear the word hold it fast in an honest and a good heart. And they bear fruit with patience. As Paul wrote in Romans 10, verse 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. It's a hearing that at first leads to salvation, and then it leads to submission. As soon as we move to verses 16 to 18, Jesus clarifies the parable of the sower by adding sort of a little mini parable. Reading verses 16 to 18, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. But nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear, for the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. Jesus begins this mini parable with stating the obvious. No one covers a lamp because the lamp is no longer beneficial, and so it's placed on a stand. But did you notice that the benefit is not for those in the house, but for those who enter? Like the seed which is sown generously, the light, being God's word, is not hidden from anyone. God sent his Son, Jesus, to reveal the gospel, to proclaim the secrets of the kingdom of God. And it will be the true hearers who will be drawn to the light and will receive this gospel message and will one day enter into God's kingdom. at this time, God's kingdom is hidden. But when Christ returns, nothing will be hidden, nor will there be anything secret. It will all come to light. But Jesus knows when he returns, the time of judgment will come, when people will be revealed for the kind of hearers that we really are. To this point, Jesus gives a strong warning. Take care how you hear. He urges us all to listen. And listening is really that ongoing hearing. That ongoing hearing. And it is a hearing, not just with their ears, but it is with a wide open heart. It's hearing which is not only attentive to the Word of God. It doesn't just answer the questions in our book. It produces obedience in our lives. Verses 19 to 21 says this, "Then his mother and brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, 'Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you.' But he answered them, 'My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it.'" In verse 21, Jesus clearly redefines the family of God. And it's defined by the person who hears and obeys the word. James 1 tells us in verses 22 to 25, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the one who studies and really lets the word study her, looks into the word, and the word is a law of liberty, and she perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. He will be blessed in his doing." This reminds us of the description of the good soil in verse 15, doesn't it? That those hearing the word hold fast to it in an honest and good heart, and it will be productive, and it will bear fruit with patience. True hearing, hearing that leads to faith, and faith, right faith, leads to obedience. That consistency, being consistent with the word. True hearing is a matter of taking up one's cross and daily following Jesus. And so we must ask ourselves, are we clinging to the word in patient, persevering faith? Are we holding fast to God and his message of hope? We can either focus on God's promises or on our circumstances and the broken world around us. Each day, we must choose, and what we choose makes a difference. For the one, if we follow God and follow his word and stay on his promises, that will lead to fruitfulness. The other leads to barrenness. And it is this daily choice that I believe brings us to the second part of chapter 8 in verses 22 to 56. For in these verses, Luke vividly presents the power of the Word of God. With each miracle, Jesus' power and authority prevail. It prevails over nature. It prevails over evil, it prevails over sickness, and it prevails over death. And although time, you will have time to discuss in your group, right in this talk, time doesn't permit really an in-depth study and look and description of each miracle. But let's see why Luke paired the miracles with the parable of the seed. One of the first things we notice is that all the miracles concern fear, brought on by uncontrollable circumstances. The storm on the lake is an example of the difficult circumstances of life. The demonic exemplifies the evil that afflicts the minds of people. The woman's hemorrhage represents physical illnesses and weaknesses. And the death of Jairus' daughter reminds us of the last enemy that waits for all of us. The second thing we might notice in these miracles is that everyone involved brought their fears to Jesus. And the third thing that we notice is that Jesus was there. Jesus overcame each one of the circumstances. He calmed the storm. He restored the demonic. He healed the hemorrhaging woman. And he brought Jairus' daughter back to life. And not only did he overcome, he brought them peace through that time. From these miracles, we can learn three things. That evil, or what the Bible calls tribulation, or you know what you call it, circumstances of life, whatever, we must expect them. We live in a broken world, and bad things, evil things happen. But we learn that evil can be overcome. That's the second thing we learn. And finally, that Jesus is the one who can overcome. And in saying that, we must understand that Jesus may not always give us the kind of victory in our circumstances that we want or expect. We must remember that. But we must also see in these miracles his great love and compassion for each one of these people. If you think about I'm going off script. Anyway, this is dangerous. But if you think about the demonic wanted to go with Jesus, didn't he? He wanted to go with him, and Jesus said no. He was restored, and he said, no, you stay here. You tell the people what God has done for you. First missionary, right? Wasn't what he expected, wasn't what he wanted, but we will never know this side of heaven how much he did tell. He went and he told. How many people came to Jesus because of that man? We don't know. And in saying this, we don't always get what we expect. But when we come to Jesus and we present our circumstances that are bothering us, little things to tremendous things, he will always be there for us. He will always be there, and he will help us overcome our tribulations in some way. For his answer in trying circumstances, they may be relief, but he also may ask you to endure. His answer in illness may be a miraculous miracle in health, but he also may ask us to have courage, to have courage. He may plan to rescue us if we may be close to death, and he may bring us back. But we also may have to die. We all will die. And that will give us and those left behind great hope if we all die in Christ and trusting him. Paul reminds us in Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul also wrote in Romans 8, in all these things, in all of life's circumstances, we are more than conquerors through Him, through Jesus, who loved us. These are the responses of the true hearer to the Word of God. It is a response of obedience. Lord, what comes in my life, I take from your hand, and I will be obedient to do what you want me to do. It's a response of patient endurance, leaning, trusting, knowing. Even when it looks like he's silent and he's turned his back, he's there and he's working. And it's a response of faith. It's a faith in and complete trust in Jesus, who has all the power and all the authority to calm a storm, nature, and to drive out evil, and to raise a dead person to life. The question is, today, if you hear his voice, will you harden your hearts, or will you respond and say, yes, teach me more, Jesus, teach me more. Let's pray. Oh God, your word is so great, so great. And you are the Almighty and Holy One. You are the one that in all of our life circumstances, you are the one that will make the difference as we lean and trust and believe and put our faith in you. You have proven it. We see it in your word. And I'm sure every woman here has a testimony that could be given. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. And now go with us as we go into our discussion groups, as we discuss what you have taught us. And, Lord, draw us near to you. And may we stay there for the rest of the day, the week, the month, and the number of years that you have to let us live. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.